This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
This is the Get Booked Podcast, a weekly show for personalized reading recommendations. This is episode 308, and we are recording on November 30th. I'm Jen Northington, and I'm here with special guest Charity Yoro, and we are coming to you from Book Riot. Welcome, Charity.
Thanks, Jen.
Hooray! So Amanda is away today, and Charity very kindly agreed to come on and do some book recommending. Charity, will you tell the folks a little bit about yourself and what you do at Book Riot, what you like to read, etc.?
Yeah. So I'm a big fan. I love listening to you and Amanda's recommendations. And I feel a little intimidated because I always learn about new books from you folks. And I feel like I may not be up to the task, but I am going to do my best. So what do I do at Book Riot? So I am an editorial operations associate, meaning that I support our editorial team at Book Riot, working alongside Jen, you, and supporting all aspects of podcasts, newsletters, things like that. As a reader, I primarily identify as a poet. So my preferences tend to be very prosy, and I lean towards literary fiction, memoirs. Mm. I love historical nonfiction, just the range of that. Right now, I'm really obsessed with the mycelial books right now. No. Anything with mushrooms and learning about the different networks. What else? Human behavior and design. I like learning about those sorts of things as well. And that's my reading profile in a nutshell.
Yeah. I think this is the first time we've had an official poet come onto the show to give recommendations. So you'll be able to tell listeners I stacked the deck a little bit for that. Because we do get poetry questions and Amanda and I can answer them, but it's nice to have an expert of a kind to tell us. Yes. So, all right. Well, so how does this show work? You might be asking yourself. You can send in reading recommendation requests. They can be for you, for a gift, for a friend and loved one. It can be for your book club or really whatever. You can send those in either via email, getbooked@bookriot.com, or you can put them in the form that's at the bottom of the show notes on the site for each episode. And we might answer it on the air. If you have a time-sensitive request, I do see that there are still a bunch of holiday ones in there. We'll do our best to get to those as quick as we can. But if you have a time-sensitive request, please do put time-sensitive and the date you're hoping to hear back by in the subject line of the email or the very first line of the form. We'll try. And let's see, we have some feedback. Oh, wait, before I give the feedback, reminder that we do have one new podcast, Adaptation Nation, which is all about adaptations. So if you are a fan of seeing things come to the screen from a book, you will want to check that out. You can search for it in your podcatchers. The first two episodes are live. We did Dune and Casino Royale. Wheel of Time is coming up. All kinds of good stuff in there. Okay, now we'll do feedback. So Stephanie says, for the reader looking for a YA sci-fi, the suggestion is The Illumini Files, if they enjoy Empress of a Thousand Skies, which I think was Amanda's recommendation. So The Illumini Files is mega corporate-driven interplanetary war, investigation by teens, all told in letters and documents. The audiobook version is really well done, and it's a completed trilogy. So thank you, Stephanie. I'm going to read our first question, and then we will take an ad break, and we will get with the recommending. So the first question is from Sydney, who says, my mom is giving my brother and his wife a Hawaiian getaway as a Christmas present. There's no way I can top that, nor would my wallet allow me to try. So I would like to give my sister-in-law some tropical beach reads to take on the trip. I was already thinking people we met on vacation. She likes Taylor Jenkins Reid novels and appreciates a good thriller. I'm thinking something that's summer Hallmark movie meets Gone Girl. I'd love for the setting to be Hawaii, but would be happy with any tropical vacation setting. All right, so let's hear from our sponsor. So, Charity, what do you have for a vacation in Hawaii beach read?
I love this one because, for context, I'm from Hawaii. I was born and raised there and I went to school there. So I feel deeply connected to this question and this request. And I also think it's such a great gift idea. I mean, who doesn't want to, you know, a book as a gift? So I love that. Okay, so my preference normally when I recommend any book about Hawaii is to seek out a Native Hawaiian author. I had difficulty finding one in this particular genre, but I found Daughters of Fire by Tom Peake. It was suggested to me by my friends at Kona Bay Books, who I'd recommend. Sydney, if your sister-in-law and brother are on the Big Island, they're on the Kona side. Anyway, the folks at Kona Bay Books say that this one is a best-selling favorite and a lot of visitors really enjoy it. I think it has everything you're looking for in terms of a contemporary thriller in a tropical setting. You have romance, intrigue, myth, murder. It takes place over the span of a couple weeks. It's about 16 days on the Big Island. And there's a Hawaiian-born protagonist named Miley. She's an anthropologist. And I think it's really interesting. And what I find really important about books about Hawaii is how particularly this book touches on some of the very real land right issues, things that are questions of ownership, issues that are that have been happening, are happening currently in places like Mauna Kea on the Big Island. Anyway, I feel really connected to that part of the book. And it's part romance, it's mystery, it's a political thriller, social commentary, even a little speculative fiction. So you have a little bit of everything in there. And I also wanted to mention, so it's not in the Taylor Jenkins Reid vein, but there's some other really great Native Hawaiian authors who I'd recommend also picking up. These authors are Cowie Hart Hemmings, Kavai Strong Washburn. They have really great stories that I think provide this like more nuanced, complex view of Hawaii that I think is really important as well.
Awesome.
Yeah. What about you, Jen?
Well, first I need to pick up your book recommendation too. That sounds great. And I'm not going on a beach vacation, but I can pretend. Pick is actually, it is not exactly what you're looking for, but I, having been only once and really loving it, I always feel like, and you know, Charity, obviously you touched on this, there's so much more going on in these places that sometimes we are just visitors there. And I think it can be really interesting and also important to know about that. And I read and loved This is Paradise by Christiana Kahakavila. And it is short stories, which are great for beach reading. And it is by a Native Hawaiian author. And they are such great stories. They're so interesting. They jump around from like island to island and also from protagonist to protagonist. So you get, you know, all kinds of, there's like a tourist story. There's a, like a very small, like rural personal life story for one of them. And they all have like such immersive settings, even though they can be very short, but they feel, you know, it's that bigger on the inside feeling that I love so much about short stories. And there's also really interesting experimentation with voice in them. So like one of the stories is told in a group voice, and then the other ones you're inside one particular person's head, and some of the others you might jump around a little bit. So it's just it's a really great collection. And I think it would be very enjoyable really for anybody, even though it's not, you know, quote unquote, a beach read. So again, that's This is Paradise by Christiana Kahakavila.
That's a great recommendation. Yeah, oh, I definitely so plus one that. All right. So for our next question, my mom loves all the books by Eric Larson. It's the style of writing versus the specific subjects. What are good comps? Thanks so much, Christine.
A good question. Good question.
Yeah.
You like nonfiction. What did you have for this one?
I like nonfiction. So I'm not a big Eric Larson reader, but from what I know of his style, it's very approachable, sort of narrative, historical nonfiction, which I do like, and I want to read more of. I was thinking of recommending Sarah Vowell and her book, her 2015 book, Lafayette in the Somewhat United States. I've heard great things about, and her style is sort of humorous, insightful, you know, really approachable, which I think aligns a lot with Eric Larson's style. So this particular book, it's about Marquis de Lafayette, the Frenchman who came to America when he was 19 to fight in the Revolutionary War. Viola does her research. She visits historical sites. She does a pretty extensive job of just outlining all of Lafayette's adventures from the Revolution to his return to the United States in 1824 and sort of beyond that. So, yeah, I think that you'd appreciate her writing and maybe would enjoy that book. It's Lafayette in the Somewhat United States by Sarah Vowell.
I can't hear Lafayette's name now without thinking of the Hamilton Lafayette. Like, it just goes off in my head every time.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny. Sarah Vowell's great. Yeah, I went back and forth on this one because I kept changing my mind as to what I wanted to recommend. But I settled on The Black Count, Glory, Revolution, Betrayal, and The Real Count of Monte Cristo by Tom Rice, which I loved. And I think the thing that makes this an Eric Larson comp is that it is like a deep dive into a sort of overlooked section or person in history, which Larson does a bunch of. Though I will say a difference between Rice's style and Larson's style is that Rice brings himself into the narrative in a way that Larson never does. So you get to hear about like Rice going to France, trying to dig up documents, the struggles he had in getting a hold of them and finding out more about this person who inspired, you know, some of the greatest classics of our canon. And so, like, that's not exactly a one-to-one Eric Larson thing, but I think that anybody who enjoys Eric Larson's books would absolutely enjoy this. Especially because the story, this is so wild. Like, I had no idea. So Alexandre Dumas, the writer, was the son of Alex Dumas, who was, in fact, a Haitian French person. His father had a plantation in Haiti, and Alex's mother was an enslaved woman. And he was, you know, brought to France by his father eventually and like became part of the French aristocracy. And he was in, you know, part of Napoleon's forces and battled his way across Europe and the Middle East and, you know, fell prey to all of this politicking. And that story is part of what inspired The Count of Monte Cristo, which if you're a longtime listener, you know, I love. And so finding out that background is super interesting. And you get this view into France, like this, like, you know, look at, there were definitely people of color who were in all kinds of levels in French life. And seeing more about that was something I had never read about. So it's eye-opening and really readable in all of the good ways. Again, that is The Black Count by Tom Rice.
I'm sold. I want to get it. Yeah. I'm adding it to my TBR list right now.
It's so good. I bet the audiobook is good too, if that's a thing that people like, because he is sort of telling you the story of doing this research as he's also telling you Dumas' story himself. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, I love the audiobooks.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah. Who doesn't love an audiobook? Except for me. I'm the only one.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
All right. So our next question is from Sarah, coming to us from Melbourne, Australia. Hello, Sarah. Sarah says, I just read Jane, a Murder by Maggie Nelson. I loved the mixture of poetry, journal entries, general awesome Nelson writing. Just wondering if you can recommend anything of a similar style. I've already read The Argonauts and loved it. I struggled to read a book that is just poetry, but really enjoyed the way Nelson pulled it all together. So Charity, give us your expert poet opinion.
I know this is no pressure. No, I loved The Argonauts as well. And Maggie Nelson's style is just so approachable for folks that aren't, you know, they don't consider themselves poet readers. So I often will recommend Maggie Nelson's books to folks that, you know, are wanting to enter into poetry but don't know where to start. Now, in terms of like sort of genre bending, poetry, prose, hybrid writers, I think of Eileen Miles, their collection Evolution, one of my favorites in terms of poetry. But I think in terms of this, Sarah's particular request, I'm thinking of their coming of age novel, Chelsea Girls, which I haven't read yet, but I know it blends fiction and memoir. And of course, Miles's signature fast paced, disarming style that is really reminiscent of Maggie Nelson. So I think they have a lot of parallels there. It's witty, stream of consciousness type of writing. Now there is, you know, content warnings and sex, drugs, rock and roll content. So things related to that in the memoir, the book. Mm. But I would recommend either Chelsea Girls or other books of Eileen Miles, Evolution even, as a way to enter into more of that style. I'm also thinking a close second recommendation would be An Autobiography of Red by Anne Carson. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you read that one?
Yes. I love Autobiography of Red. I did think about that before I went and picked something else. That was on my short list.
Okay. Yeah. It's like Anne Carson's writing also is like, I'm just thinking of styles that are similar to Maggie Nelson. I was also thinking of Carmen Maria Machado's In the Dream House. Mm. It's such a different approach to it, and it's not even really poetry. I would say that book is very much a memoir, but it approaches it in a way that feels like a journal entry. It feels like an exercise in style, like trying different modes and poetic devices to enter into a very personal and very heavy experience. In Machado's particular book, she talks about domestic abuse, so that there is a content warning there, and her relationship with her partner and sort of her healing through that. So content warning there. The other one I would recommend, Ocean Vuong's On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous. It's a novel written by a poet. So Ocean Vuong is a poet as well. And very similarly, you can enter into it and it's not just poems. It is a very prosaic interpretation of the memoir that is a novel. So I really appreciate that about that book. So some recommendations there.
Obviously. Yeah. because they're only here for a short while. So yes, go ahead and cheat to your heart's content.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, yeah. So I ended up going with Citizen by Claudia Rankine because it's so good. Oh, it's so good. And when I was thinking about, I love Maggie Nelson and I love Anne Carson and some of these others, but I was thinking about specifically, like, I was thinking about the way that Nelson lays out things on the page. And it while it's been a while since I picked up Citizen, in my head, it's similar. Like, there are these sort of little essayettes interspersed with more, standard like poetry. And then there's blends of both. And that felt very similar, I think, to what I got out of Maggie Nelson. So that's why I ended up going with Citizen. It's also, obviously, I think, the first thing that you know about Citizen is that it is a meditation on race and being Black in America. And she covers so much ground. I mean, there's all of these different moments that stick out in my head. And it's been years since I read this book. But, there's a piece on the way that Serena Williams is treated in the media and in sports. And then there's this encounter that Claudia has with somebody she's only ever spoken to on the phone who sees her in person for the first time. And, we're talking, there's a memorial for victims of police shootings. And, it's really, there's a lot of heavy stuff in here. So you're going to want to create space for that. But it's so beautifully written and it's so raw and honest, but also polished in this way that I find hard to articulate. Like, Rankine is just so good at word choice. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just incredibly compelling. And I think it really does appeal to anyone, whether or not they feel quote unquote comfortable reading poetry.
That's such a great pick. Oh, that's such a good recommendation. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. So that's Citizen, An American Lyric by Claudia Rankine. I'm going to give a shout out here also, though, to The Book of Delights by Ross Gay, which are tiny, tiny essays. And just as you might expect from the title, full of delight. And they have a poetry to them, even though they're definitely essays. And Gay is a poet and he is so good. So that's another one that you should put on your long list there.
I don't know if the audiobook has him reading, but I love hearing him read. He has the best, most joyful, especially with this book.
Yeah.
Just like this pure joy that comes out. And it's not always it's not always light, right? But that book has such levity in the sense of seeks that joy. He finds it in the everyday, the minutiae and stuff. And I really love that about that book.
Yeah.
That's a great one too. Yeah. Awesome. Well, let's move on to our next question. And this question is from Maria. I am spending a month studying abroad in London and the rest of the UK. So I'm looking for books, not just set in London, but revolving around the city, if that makes sense. Something that will really introduce me to the city, but preferably contemporary or historical fiction. Not much other than that. Thanks. All right. So I went to the part that said, to the part of the request that talked about introducing Maria to the city. Mm-hmm. I don't have a fiction pick for this. It's actually a collection of essays or stories, and it's Londoners by Craig Taylor. And I just feel like this pick fits the bill of a contemporary book that will introduce Maria to London. And it's a collection of 80 stories written by Londoners themselves. And in the title, I think it says it all. It's The Days and Nights of London Now, as told by those who love it, hate it, live it, left it, and long for it. So it's not fiction, but it does take on a different, just like real life perspectives of the city, which I think Maria would appreciate. I also have a few fiction picks revolving around London area that are some of my favorites. Brick Lane by Monica Ali, White Teeth by Zadie Smith, and then Bernardine Evaristo's Girl, Woman, Other, which are some of my top the fiction picks that are London based. But yeah, for my official recommendation, I would suggest Londoners by Craig Taylor.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I went a little sideways, so I'm glad that Charity, you went a little more literal with your pick to give Maria some options. The first book that pumped into my head, because, you know, I read this book well before I ever went to London, but it really made me feel like I was there. It's Kraken by China Mieville, and this is urban fantasy. So it is London plus weird magic, because China Mieville's brain is like the strangest place, right? And it opens in London's Natural History Museum. There is a scientist there who specializes in squid, and he's doing this tour. And at the end of the tour is like the big coup de grace, this giant squid. It's very rare. It's in a tank. And they get to that point in the tour and the squid is just like gone. It's just gone. And there's no way for it to be gone. Like it's a literal giant squid specimen. Like, where could it go? Mm. So Billy, who's like a totally like normie norm scientist, right? Like he's very sure that like reality is a certain way, gets sucked into the magical underbelly of London and goes to all of these different neighborhoods and places in London and interacts with all of these different strange groups who are each part of some sort of supernatural part of London. Mm. And like, there's really interesting meditations on what it means to be part of a city. Like, that's the part of this book that I think spoke to me for this question, is because it's so concerned with like, yeah, what does it mean to live in a city? What does it mean to be part of a city? What are the different experiences people have in that city? Mm-hmm. And it really dives into that. And then also it's got like action and magic and lots of squiddy stuff. And it's really fun. I will say there's like some gory bits because Mieville also can go to dark places. But yeah, it's super interesting. And I really enjoyed it back when I read it. And I think it would be a really fun thing to read while you were actually in London, because you could go to some of those neighborhoods and like imagine what if. So that's Kraken by China Mieville.
I like that direction. I like where you went with that.
I always go somewhere entertaining. If to no one else but me, that's possible. But yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. It would be funny to read those in tandem, or just in conversation with one another, you know, like more literal and more abstract interpretations. That's very cool.
Yeah. That would be so. Okay. So there you go, Maria. You should do a read along. Do both of them. Not like you don't have other things to do. Yeah. All right. Well, let's take another sponsor break. Okay, so question five is from Nomi, who says, looking for recs of queer poetry. Specifically, I'd love to read about bisexuality, with some nice flower emojis around it. Mm. Any poet that wrote about their attraction to multiple genders I'm interested in, as long as it's focused on pride and not shame. It's not always fun or welcoming out there, and I need some beautiful words. I'm very new to the genre and pretty much never read any of it, but I want to. All right, Charity, what is your pick for this one?
So my pick for Nomi is You're the Most Beautiful Thing That Happened by Arissa White. And White's writing is extraordinary. This collection has been described as, quote, a reworking, re-envisioning, and re-embodying of language as a conduit for art, love, and understanding. I love that description of a book. Mm. But anyway, I thought of Arissa White in terms of Nomi's question of focusing on pride and, you know, welcoming and reclaiming. Mm. And in this book, White reclaims, one of the ways that she reclaims language is like in her titles, which are translations of euphemisms for the word gay in different languages. And, you know, I haven't read the collection in its entirety, but I've heard readers and other poets and peers liken it to a love letter to the queer community, and particularly to the queer of color community. Like, it has that way of holding you, and White's writing really does, and poetry does have that way. And there's an element of grief and heaviness to the collection, particularly in the middle section. There's a section dedicated to Arissa White's cousin, Karen, who passed away in 2000 from AIDS. But there is this joy and tenderness that's found in White's poetry that I think will resonate with Nomi and sort of what you're looking for. So my pick is You're the Most Beautiful Thing That Happened by Arissa White.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah.
I went with June Jordan, who I have just recently started reading, and who does very much speak to the experience of falling in and out of love and sexuality with both men and women. I'm hopping right now through her collection, Directed by Desire, which is actually, I believe, everything, if I'm understanding correctly. It's got an introduction from Adrienne Rich that's really lovely. And it is, wow, there's just so much in here. I mean, June Jordan is an icon in the poetry world who, you know, I am just recently coming to understand more about, because I'm not new here, but a sporadic visitor, shall we say. but yeah, it's so good. And she, you know, she's writing about so many different things. In addition to love and desire, she's writing about, you know, what it means to be a Black woman in America. She's writing about politics. She's, you know, there's a hilarious, like, response to one of Eminem's songs in there. Like, she's very in conversation with the world. But I think I like this idea of joy and tenderness, Charity, that you referred to with Arissa White, because I think that's what June Jordan has also, is that, you know, whether she's tackling really heavy things or just what it's like to fall in love with somebody, there is a lot of tenderness and a great deal of joy. And I think you'll find so much to love here. So yeah, so that's Directed by Desire by June Jordan. I'm also going to drop in the show notes, there's an Autostraddle post that has a bunch of other poets that you might find interesting. And so it's a great reference for moving farther afield as well.
That's a great idea. And yeah, June Jordan, iconic, definitely great pick. Great selection right there. Yeah, I love it. All right. So our next question. Oh, it's a Christmas question. Okay. So books for Christmas. Hello, longtime listener and first time write-in. I'll do my best to keep this short and sweet. I'm a big believer in giving the gift of books, especially to children. With that, I'm constantly questioning what kids are into, what my boys are into, the hip new books for kids, what they will find captivating and fun, what will excite them. By the end, I'm always left feeling questionable about what I chose. So this year I'm seeking help. I have two different boys that I buy for, my godson and my nephew. My godson is the sunshine of my life. He's 10 years old, an incredibly unique kid. He likes everything from puppets to Legos, Harry Potter. He collects different nutcrackers, plays chess. The kid is 10. He loves Minecraft, loves to read and write, and knows weird random facts. This kid is great. Some books that I know he has read are the Captain Underpants series and the Dogman series. Okay, my nephew is also the light of my life, is 11 years old and a bit harder to shop for. He loves snakes, baseball, and video games. His favorite subjects in school are science and math. He's quiet and reserved. And in the past, I've given him children's books on snake, a box set of doll books. I have no idea if you've read any of the box books. When they were younger, I usually focused on more educational type books. However, with them getting older, I'm starting to focus on books that will bring out their creativity and imagination and simply keep any interest in books and reading. Thank you for your time and help and happy holidays. And that's from Jenny G.
Yeah, so this is a good one. We split it up because, you know, it's a two-parter.
Yes.
And so, Charity, you took the 10-year-old godson.
Yes, the 10-year-old godson who likes Harry Potter. And I just love Jenny's enthusiasm for and interest in shopping for the two children in her life and how invested she is in getting the right book for them. So really appreciate that. And my recommendation would be for the Witch Boy series by Molly Knox Ostertag. And it just seems like a really fun series for what seems to be a really fun kid. I thought of it not only for its element of magic, but also for your godson's wonderfully unique qualities, which seem to align with the main character of this series, Aster. So The Witch Boy is a middle grade graphic novel series. It's a trilogy, I believe. And it's about a magical family. And traditionally, the boys grow up to be shapeshifters. The girls grow up to be witches. But Aster's drawn more towards the witchcraft. And a situation comes up in the book where a boy in their community goes missing, and he's actually given an opportunity to use some of the witchcraft that he's been teaching himself. It's a fun fantasy-filled adventure, and it also addresses more meaningful themes like gender constructs, acceptance, belonging, that I think would really resonate with your godson. So my pick is The Witch Boy, and it's a series by Molly Knox Ostertag.
I love Ostertag's work. That's a great recommendation.
Yeah, beautiful, really beautiful illustrations too. I love the graphic novels.
Yes, the art is so fun. Let's see. So I took the nephew who loves snakes and baseball and science and math. A little bit harder for sure, but I am proud of my recommendation. It is Paula Santiago and the River of Tears by Taylor K. Mejia. And this is about a 12-year-old named Paula Santiago, as you might have guessed from the title. And she is a very sciencey brained main character, which is part of why I picked it. Like, she's obsessed with space and she like loves science, and she really doesn't think that there's like anything more to the world. And so, for example, she's embarrassed because her mom is always telling the kids to stay away from the local river, not just because, you know, there's like, oh, somebody drowned a few years ago, but also there's the story of La Llorona, which is a ghost woman who, you know, wanders the banks of the river at night. And Paula is like, that's not real. But okay, like, fine, safety first. But then she gets a new telescope, and the best place to test it out is near the river. So that's what she does. And everything, you know, unfurls from there. And she's got to go on this big adventure that is, you know, puts her into a world where there's so much more going on than what she thought. And I thought that this would be a fun pick for this nephew, both because, you know, it does have a protagonist that he might feel be able to identify with as somebody else who loves the sciences. But also, it's just like, it's fun. It's fast paced. There's a great story. There's a lot going on. It is the start of a series. And this is part of the amazing Rick Riordan Presents publications, which, you know, we're recommending right and left when we get the opportunity. They're such enjoyable reads. So again, that is Paula Santiago and the River of Tears by Taylor K. Mejia.
That sounds like a great one. I love the Llorona tie-in there with the mythology. That's really fun.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. So our last question is from Mallory, who says, I'm currently reading The Making of Asian America by Erica Lee and loving it. I'm looking for comparable fiction recommendations that would make good companion reading. I think I have a good handle on Asian American fiction writers, but would love to read Asian diasporic fiction from other places, especially Cuba, Central and South America. So I picked this question because I was like, oh, I've read The Making of Asian America. I can definitely come up with things. But then the more I like tried to drill into specifically, you know, the Cuban or Central and South American Asian diaspora experience, like the harder time I had. So this one was a struggle. I don't know, Charity, what was your experience finding a book for this?
I was going to say you saved the hardest for last because that I had a lot of trouble with this one as well. And I also was thinking when I first saw the questions, like, oh, yeah, definitely. I could think of something. And my pick is actually I ended up choosing Kat Chow's Seeing Ghosts. And I know it's not fiction. It's a memoir. So it doesn't necessarily, you know, directly answer the question, Mallory's question or recommendation, But I really enjoyed this book. It has an Asian diasporic element. Chow traces her Chinese American lineage from China and Hong Kong to Cuba in the US over three generations. Again, it's not fiction, but it is beautiful and at times a really aching and complex book that confronts, you know, the grief of losing not only a loved one, so in this case, a brother, a mother, and a mother, but also the particular loss of cultural and historical uprootedness that I personally, coming myself from, you know, a family of immigrants, Asian American immigrants, I can relate to, and that I imagine Erica Lee touches on in some form in her book, and that Mallory's sort of looking for with this question. So that is why I recommended Seeing Ghosts by Kat Chow. I feel like you had you maybe had a better grasp on this, though. What's your...
Well, I could not get to Cuba, Central, or South America, so I apologize. And obviously, as always, if anybody listening knows of something that would fit, please do send in your feedback and we'll talk about it on the next show. But I did find you an Australian Asian diaspora writer. So I am recommending 100 Days by Alice Pung, which was originally brought to my attention by Kelly Jensen, who used to be on the Hey YA podcast. Oh. And this, I think this works in a couple of different ways. It is technically YA, but it's like definitely crossover adult focused. And Pung also writes memoirs, which I think is interesting because if you wanted to go in that direction, would definitely be a good choice. 100 Days is about Karuna, who is 16 and pregnant, and her mother, who is a Chinese Filipino, and, you know, came to Australia, married a white Australian man. She is very freaked out by the whole situation to the point where she basically confines Karuna to their housing commission flat for 100 days, which is part of a tradition, but not meant to be used like this necessarily, and to like protect her from the outside world and also to make sure she can't get into any trouble. So, you know, content warnings here for emotional and physical abuse. It's not a healthy relationship, that like for sure. But it's very much about what does it mean to be, you know, an immigrant, and how do you bring your heritage with you? What fears are you bringing with you, and how do they manifest? And like this intergenerational trauma stuff, which I think is so present in so many of these situations. And it's very easy to dismiss the fears of an older generation. But when, you know, Karuna, especially, like, it's not okay what her mother's doing, but when she starts to learn more about why, she reaches a new understanding of her mother and a new relationship with her mother, and also is finding out, like, who she wants to be as a person and a mother in the world. So, you know, heavy, like, intense read, but definitely one that I think is going to be an interesting one, especially for this particular question. So that's 100 Days by Alice Pung. And again, if y'all have Asian diaspora writings outside of the US, we would love to hear your picks for those. So,
and thank you to you and to Kelly for the Alice Pung recommendation. That's a great one. I gotta add that to my list as well.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my library hold to come in because it sounds really intense and definitely like something I want to read my way through. So the reviews are kind of incredible. And that's our show. We did it. Yay. Thank you so much, Charity, for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jen. And this is really fun. Thank you all for the great questions.
Yes, always with the good questions.
Yeah.
Thanks also go out to Jen Zink, our amazing sound editor, and to our sponsors who help make the show possible. Let's see, if you would like to send us feedback, questions, et cetera, whatever, you can do that, get booked at bookriot.com. If you would be so inclined as to leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts, that would be super awesome. We do appreciate that. It helps other people to find the show. And then in between shows, Charity, where can people look for you?
They can on my website, charityeyoro.com. Yeah. And I have all my socials on there, all the things on there. Yeah.
Excellent. Yes. Yeah, and you can find me, as per usual, on Twitter and Tumblr at JenIRL, JenNIRL, or on Instagram as I am JenIRL. And we will talk to you next time.